Dr. Heidi, I had a friend that once told me when they were going through a really difficult time in their life, they needed to make sure that they spread out their conversations about it to more than just one friend because they didn't want to inundate that one person with all of their struggles. It needed to be spread out. It kind of made me laugh, but I kind of thought that's kind of how we have to deal with our struggles, too. We can't let it inundate everything in our lives.
We can't. And it's so easy to do where you have that thing that's sitting in the back of your head and you're stressed about, you're thinking about while you're making dinner, while you're driving, then it leaks out. It leaks out on your family. It leaks out on your friends. It leaks out at people at work. And we have to find a way to manage that struggle and keep it from really being any bigger than it needs to be. And one way that we do that is by honoring that struggle and making space to deal with it. So if it's just getting a corner of our mind, if it's just getting the corner while we make dinner, we're not usually very productive. But if you can carve space out, if you can sit in your bedroom or find your cozy chair and write and do some journaling about it,
okay,
or do some thinking about it, or do some praying about it, then you're directing your attention onto the problem, onto the situation, saying, okay, this is important enough that it needs its own time. I need to slow down and create space for it so then I can think through it and bring Christ into it.
I suppose we could call that intentional processing, but it also sounds like intentional suffering. Like we are going to go sit inside of suffering and allow it a certain amount of space and time. And that doesn't sound very Western to me. We run away from suffering. We do anything we can not to think about it.
Yeah,
we
what's can. The difference between that and a pity party?
Yeah.
Right?
Right, right. Well, we shame ourselves. We call it a pity party, but the truth is hard things feel hard. Mm. And as Christians, we are the people who are most equipped to sit in suffering and sorrow, even though we are often the people who run away from it the most.
Can I just point to King David in the Psalms?
Yeah.
I mean, is that a giant pity party?
There
because I tell you what, he
there.
Took an awful lot of time to sit in his suffering and write about it.
He did. But what did he do at the end of it? He always came back to who God is, right? And that's why I love Lamentations 3 so much. The first half of the chapter, the first 19 verses or so, the writer is talking about how God has turned his face from him, how his bones feel like dust. And there are moments when we can relate. We feel like our bones are dust and we have no idea what God is doing. But then there's that transition verse where he says, but this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. And he's intentionally shifting his focus onto the promises of who God is, because he knows that's where his hope comes from. That verse doesn't say, and then my situation changed. It says, and then I shifted my focus onto who God is. And then he goes and talks about how the mercies of God are new every morning. And that is a truth that lets us sit in our sorrows well, because Christ is with us. His mercies are new every morning. Our situation might not change. It will not change as quickly as we want it to. It might be weeks. It might be years. But because of who Christ is and him living in us, we can sit in that well, we can suffer in it well, knowing that our sorrow is not wasted, that is creating for us that eternal weight of glory that helps us endure the sorrows this side of heaven.